Ephesians chapter 3.
Damn it. Use it, Lord.
That's got it. We have enjoyed our time here.
Amen.
And love every one of you and hate to leave. But I have talked myself into staying through today several times this week. I am ready to get to Florida.
Amen. This is,
and that thing just coming back on me, brother, a little bit. So y'all be praying for us, be praying for them. I believe it. God's wanting to do something in that area. Several churches are going down to just one service a week. Some of them about to shut down. I made mention one night there at the church. I said, now, you know, we got service here at 6 o'clock tonight. And if you're able to be here and you're here, then you're voting to keep these doors open.
That's right.
And if you're not able to be here and you're not, you're voting to shut the doors. And we lost a family. And I had no clue. And the rest of them told me later, they said, when you said that, we're like, oh, hold up. There was a family there that actually voted to shut the doors of the church. And was wanting to just, you know, shut her down and go on. And so they cast their vote that night. I hadn't seen or heard from them since then. But so that was our second vote to shut the doors, I reckon. But we're going to keep them open. And see what the Lord wants to do. I know we've just been there for just a few weeks, but we've already started stepping off the grounds for a new building.
Amen.
We can't get satisfied. We got to grow. And that building, while it'll hold probably comfortably, we might hold 90 once we get there. But it ain't enough. So we're going to turn that building into a fellowship hall. We're going to build another one. And pay for it as we go, Lord willing. So that's our desire already, and that's what we're looking to do. But we got one day at a time. Right now, I told them in prayer room, I said, come Wednesday, we are officially homeless. So that'll be all right, though. We'll perch somewhere. And I believe it's the Lord's will. My dad's been down for a while, had brain surgeries, had heart surgeries, got 22 units, rental units, and they've gone downhill. And so I believe it's going to be the Lord's will. We'll kind of stay up that area for a little bit, help them out, get things back up, get things where they put it on the market trying to sell. And then we got a family in the church that's got a huge RV. They said they'd park it behind the church. We got a hookup, and we can go down and stay in it a few nights a week, and then we'll go back up. Mom and Dad's about 2 hours from the church, so it wouldn't be that bad. So just pray, though. Pray that God's will be done and that we'll continue on marching on.
Amen.
And doing that which is right and pleasing in the sight of God.
Amen.
We got a great core group. They had lost a lot of people. But we got a great core group that loves God.
Amen.
They said, preacher, you won't preach too hard for us. We like preaching. And so far they have. And we've enjoyed our time there and just deeply loved the people. And so I'm not going to talk much more about that because I'll be leaving. Here in chapter 3 of Ephesians, rather, I've preached my testimony here in times past. And I thought perhaps I'd be over in Matthew 20. I preached that on Wednesday night up at North Whitfield Baptist. But the Lord kind of stirred my heart in a different direction. And we want to be obedient to the Lord, see how he wants to do things.
Amen.
This is my life's verse. This is what I desire. You know, a lot of people, they've got a verse, and that carries them through life. It helps them get through the bad times. It helps them, it motivates them, all sorts. If you don't have a verse that'll help you, you need to pray and get you a verse that you can go to and that you can anchor to. And so I had done that several years ago. And so Ephesians 3:20 is actually what I have held to and looked at, and there's several reasons why, and we'll look at those tonight, Lord willing. Starting in verse number 14, the Bible said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened and with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Let's pray. Father, we do want to bless you again. Thank you, Lord, for the moving and the service tonight. Lord, I'm glad I serve a risen Savior, a God of gods, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. And Lord God, we just want to thank you and praise you for what you've done, and Lord, for what you're going to do. Continue to bless this work, Lord, this church. Father, we have, Lord, here from Prayer Baptist. Pray, God, you'd bless them and continue to work in them. Some here from House of Prayer. I pray, God, you'd bless that church and continue to use them. Father, they can band together with one heart and one mind and one accord, Lord God, to do thy will. And Father, we'll bless you and thank you. Use us this night in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to look here in this passage, in this verse. I looked at it several years ago, and it has a lot here. It says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according." That word "according" changes things. It'd be good if it just stopped right before "according," but it don't. This exceeding, I want to look at these words. I love doing word study. These words here, "exceeding," comes from the word "hooper." It means over. "Abundantly," that comes from two words. It comes from the first word "ek," which is a primary preposition, and it's denoting origin, the point whence motion or action proceeds from or out. And then the word "parousos" is meaning in the sense of beyond, superabundantly in quantity, superior in quality. By implication, it's excessive. Above all that we ask or think. I've asked for a lot, and I have got a very vivid and powerful imagination. I can think of some stuff. And so when I'm thinking about what he's able to do, he can match my thinking. Man, there's some things that can be done. And I can't even scratch the surface of his abilities. He is able. Even with our wildest imagination, we fall short concerning what he can do. I mean, he's got the power. He created all of this. You know, I seen this guy going around. He was talking to people about God, and if they believed in a supreme being and believed in God and the Genesis account of creation. And several of them said, "No, no." And one lady, she said, "Well, I did until I got older, and now not so much." And you know what? He handed them a book, and it had all these different colors and all these pictures of plants and animals and stuff. And he said, "Look at this." And they did. And he said, "Do you think that book just formed itself?" "No." "You think that all those colors just fell down out of heaven, out of the sky, and just fell in that perfect position on those pages?" "Well, no." "Well, do you think that black ink just fell out of the sky and formed all those words in them sentences?" "Well, no." "Somebody had to put it together." He said, "Well, let's talk about your DNA." I mean, hey, How in the world could you ever think there ain't a God when you look at how complex this body is? I mean, and he had the ability to just speak it. He didn't have to get into his little workshop and work on it for a few decades. He just spoke it. That's some ability. He has the ability. He has the power. And so as we think about that in the verse, it don't stop there. It has that according. It's meaning to be suitable or agreeable, in accordance with or agreement with. Hey, kind of the way I've looked at this thing for several years, I see that accordingly. I see the balances. You've got that stand, and then you got on a chain, you got them two dishes. Well, you're placing something, an object in one, and then you weigh it out, you balance it out with over here to get your weights. That's how I'm seeing this verse here, how that God put this thing together. I mean, the power, when you look at the power that's here, that dunamis, that force, the miraculous power, usually by implication, it's talking about a miracle within itself. That's some power. Hey, we have the power. If you look in verse 14, he said, "For this cause I bow at my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's who he's talking about, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Look in chapter number 4 and verse number 6. He said, "One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all." Man, we've got that. The power that created us lives in us. Let alone what all else it's created and what all else has been accomplished through it. So we have the power of the Father, but then we have the Spirit in verse number 16. He said that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Hey, we have the Father living inside us, but we have the Spirit living inside us. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? He goes on in Galatians 4:6, "And because you are the sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." So we have the Father living in us, we have the Son living in us, but then here in Ephesians 3:17, he said also in the first part of Galatians 2:20, he said, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." So we have the Son living in us. We have the Trinity within us. Amen. Son, that's some power. Amen. So it looks like, now if that verse would have left a couple of words out, "Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think," it says according. And it don't say according to the power that's within us, but the power that worketh within us. Man, if you'd have been there Friday night and seen what was going on with them two girls getting saved. At one, I'm telling you what, I mean, God was working and moving, and boy, she was in travail. She was in that birthing canal for a while. And man, I'm telling you, she finally got through and got born again. And we used to see stuff like that all the time. You know, that power that worketh in us. We're not seeing things today like we saw years ago because, you know, on an engine, you have this thing that's called a governor. That engine in your car's got a lot more power than what you know it has, because there's a little thing called a governor that cuts it down. So the power's there, and it's able. But why aren't we seeing it work like we used to? I mean, I hear of even Charles Stanley back in his day, he was a powerhouse. I've heard preachers that sat in meetings where and said that preachers couldn't even get to the altar. They were falling out in the aisle there under such conviction, weeping and crying, begging God to help them. Power The power of God, the power that's right here within us, the power that we have, that we possess. Hey, in there in Ephesians 3:19, he says that you might be filled with the fullness of God. That repletion or completion, what feels as contents or supplement, that of the multitude, and then as the subject there, but hey, what are we filled with? Brother Smith and I was talking yesterday a little bit, and you know, we got talking about this thing that's real big now. You'd almost think it was a verse out of the Bible that says the mind cannot comprehend no more than the rear end can endure. I've seen some churches services run all night long. And nobody was in a hurry to leave. Why? Yeah. Things have changed. We're not allowing the Spirit to work through us. Yeah. We've hindered Him. We've cut that governor down. Yeah. We've cut it down. Hey, to worketh, to be active, efficient. The Bible tells us over here in Galatians, well, I sure want to be over in Matthew 20. It was more of a shouting message to begin with. Over here in Galatians 5, he tells us verse 16 and 17, he says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." You see what he said? If the Spirit is able to work in us, then you know what? We cannot do the things that we would. We wouldn't be in so much sin. But then if the flesh is overpowering the Spirit, we would not do the things that we could. We can't get out there and witness like we ought to. I've never seen that until just earlier today. That applies on both of them. I mean, if we're walking in the Spirit, then we're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Preacher mentioned it earlier today. "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Hey, if we're not allowing that to work, then we're allowing sin to work. So, hey, we can't allow that in our lives and then expect God to move and do something. Hey, the Word of God. You know, all this is perfect. The Word of God that we have that we can, he said in Hebrews 4:12, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." That's powerful, that quick, it's alive, powerful, it's active, operative. We could say along with the psalmist, if we had hid the word in our heart. Man, what power. We don't realize the power that we have. In Asheville, we stopped at an old car show, and there was a friend of ours out there. I didn't know he was out there, and he showed me, he had this Corvette. Oh, man, thanks. He was pushing over 800 horsepower at that time. Now it's somewhere over 1,000 horsepower. And he gave me the keys, said, "Take it." I was like, "No." He said, "No, take it." He said, "Get in it and drive it." I said, "You get in and go with me." We pulled out on the four lane. He said, "No, I ain't telling you just to drive it. I mean drive it." He said, "You get in this thing, you boil the tires. I mean, you give it everything it's got." You know what? When I started out, I was kind of like this. And when I got in it, I was like this, hanging on to the steering wheel, everything I had. Man, you're on power. And I'm thinking, man, I love it. I love power. And I possess so much power within me that I don't even consider. Oh, the power. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Oh, the word of God, power. There ain't nothing more powerful. Brother Steve got talking about the Bible this morning, the purity of it. And hey, there's so much power in the word of God. And whenever we take that and we apply it in our lives and we allow it to work in our lives, you know what he talks about with the Spirit? He said to be ye filled. Be filled with the Spirit. He said to quench not the Holy Spirit, to grieve not the Spirit. Hey, when we grieve or quench, we're hindering that power. We're putting it down. But when we're filled with the Spirit. Wednesday night, Brother Stringer said the Lord really been working with him more about praying and trusting and so forth. And he said, man, all my hot water side on the pipes are all froze up solid. And here, you know, this weather, it ain't been getting hot enough for it to thaw out. So he said, I got worried. He said, man, them things are going to start splitting. My pipes are going to bust. And he said, Lord woke him up about 5 o'clock. He woke up and said, I was thinking about that. And the Lord said, well, why don't you pray? He said, I went to my study and spent some time in prayer. And he said, Lord, you know where I'm at with my water pipes. I need my water. And them pipes are going to bust. And he said, I'm just asking you, and I'm believing you. I believe you can thaw them out. The teens, you know, we're down in the teens and the 20s. They can't thaw out on their own, Lord. Yeah. I need you to thaw them out. He said, I got up and went on into the living room, sat there reading. He said, in just a little while, he said, I heard my wife get up out of the bed, and she goes in the bathroom. Said, I heard her holler in there. Lillard, and she said, what? What's going on? What's wrong? She goes, we got hot water flowing out of every spigot. It was still in the mid-20s. You know what happened? The power of God working. The power of God working. I was thinking about those two brothers up in Asheville, North Carolina. Several people had told us about them when we moved up there back several years ago. Said they'd come out of that mountain and they'd go to somebody's house and they'd get down in the yard of the night and start praying that God would bring such conviction on them that they'd get saved. And said it happened time after time after time again. As they were out in that yard praying, those people would wake up under such conviction and run out into the yard. Tell them, I got to get saved. Hey, isn't that? It's wonderful to read and hear about those things, but I want to live them. I really do. I want to live them more. So I look at this verse here, and I think, man, when I get into a situation, or when, it, you know, listen, I was about to die, man, sitting over there. I love this church. I love you. Y'all kept us together. You did. I mean, only a pastor could tell you. It's a horrible thing to sit when you're used to going. It's hard. And I'm one of them anyhow, man. I don't like to be late. I don't like to have to wait on people. And man, whenever you tell me that we're going somewhere at a certain time and we're not, it don't happen, I get ill. That's one of my problems me and Dad had working together. Is, well, we're going to knock off at 5 o'clock and 6:30. You still there, still going? Just don't tell me. I can work all night. I don't give a flip. Just don't tell me we're going to leave at 5 and then we're not leaving at 5. That's when it started getting a problem. And so God had dealt with us about pastoring and praising, and then doors started shutting down. And, you know, I mean, before we got here, I was preaching somewhere about every weekend. And then everything just started shutting down. And we're just sitting. Man, it just got harder and harder and harder. And we was in the right place because y'all kept us together. Amen. And now it feels like we're alive again. Amen. Feels like we're able to go again and able to do again. Hey, that power starts to coming back up, starts to working again. Brother Allen, I've heard him say it several times and heard him several times this week make the statement. He said that the secret to this life is spending more time with him than anybody else. You know what? There's a Bible verse to that. John 15:7 said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Amen. That abide comes from the word meno. And it's a primary verb. It's to stay in a given place or a given state, a given relation or a given expectancy. To be present, to remain, to stand, to continue, to dwell. Man, I'm telling you how we got so much power. We could see this country turn around if we would get serious with God. We've got I believe we've got a great president thus far. I like the way that things are going thus far. But I ain't liking the way the church is really going. You know, there's churches up there in parts of Tennessee. In one area up there, the average age of the pastor is 83 years of age. Because they don't have anybody else that is willing to come take their place. Little old country churches ain't got a whole lot. And you have to do some work to get it built back up. And they just, we don't want to do it. So much we see. But hey, if we'll spend time with him. I was thinking about Revelation and chapter 3 and verse 20. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and will sup with him and he with me." That's a simple word, sup, but I did look it up. It means to dine. That is to take the principal meal. Now, you young folk, I pity a lot of you because you don't understand this. Now, when I was growing up, son, we worked. Daddy, that's one thing. Daddy, oh, Lord, you didn't lay in no bed. You was getting up. And there was one year we planted like 3 acres of okra that we had to, everything by hand. One year is like 20 acres of watermelons. We planted them. We hoed them by hand. We did everything. And then whenever we got done there was a farmer that had weeds in his peanuts we had to go pull. Dad kept us busy. And you know what that primary meal, that supper? We'd walk in that house and we're tired. And mama's been cooking. And she's got some of that fried chicken, mashed potatoes, and fried okra, and green beans, and man's good dessert made up. And boy, we'd gather around that table. We didn't go sit in the living room and eat and watch TV. We sat at the table. That's that primary meal that the whole family partook in. And we done it together, not in shifts. She say, "Now, what did y'all do today?" We get that time of fellowship as long as right there with that time that we're eating. It's kind of a lost thing today. Kind of need to get back to it, really. That way they can better understand what the Lord's saying here. He ain't wanting us just to run in, grab a bite, and leave. He's wanting us to come in and sit down. Spend some time. Some fellowship with him. We ate with a couple of missionaries yesterday. And, Lord, I don't know, 2 hours or so, 2.5 hours, we sat there at the table. Just good fellowship. Amen. Good fellowship. My food done got cold because we just sat there talking, enjoying fellowship. It's how God wants it to be. And whenever we do that, you know what happens? We start possessing more and more power. We start allowing it to work through us. And then whenever you walk in somewhere, the power of God walks in with you. You ever been there when you walked in, people turn and look? We just felt that presence come in. I walked in the funeral home, Mama told me later that night, she said, "I was back there in the back talking to a guy and said, you walked in that door," and said he stopped and looked around. He said, "I don't know who he is, but he's a preacher." It's what we got to have. If we're going to make a difference in 2018, if we're going to change lives in 2018, if we're going to make the devil mad, And we're going to get him stirred up. Somebody said the other day at the funeral, I believe it was, it might have been later in that night service, somebody was talking about Brother Frank Caceres. They said the devil's rejoiced Sunday morning. They said he ain't here to bother us no more. Are you bothering the devil? Hey, you want to see our country turn back to God in 2018? He said, John 15:7, he's talking plural. Said if ye, he's talking about all of us. See, it's easy to look and say, well, the pastor can do this, but it's not for me. That ain't Bible. You know what? I've mentioned it the other night. I might as well mention it here. Don't want to hurt nobody's feelings or nothing, but there's a pastor down in South Georgia. He's had some physical problems in his age, and he just couldn't get out and work. As in visiting and passing out tracts and talking to people, inviting people to church. And one of the men of his church was talking to me, and he said, I sure wished he'd hurry up and resign. He's killing the church. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, wow. He said, you know, he just physically is unable to go out and visit people. He's just physically unable. He just can't do what he used to do. I said, hang on before you go any further. How many people did you visit this week? He said, well, nobody. I said, how many tracts did you pass out this week? None. I said, how many people did you call and invite to church this week? He said, none. I said, it ain't the pastor killing the church, sir, it's you.
Amen.
It's you. Hey, he said, ye, if ye abide, that's plural. Then we have Jeremiah 30:33. He said, call unto me and I will answer thee. That's singular. He's the brown bringing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I will answer thee.
Amen.
And show thee personally great and mighty things which thou knowest not.
Yeah.
Hey, how do we possess this, get this power out? Well, we need to judge ourselves. He said, judge yourself that you be not judged. Hey, look inside. Brother Wayne Henderson, I love Brother Henderson. He's always been a great blessing and encouragement to me. And he said he noticed this lady that just, I mean, had a prayer life that was just unmatchable. So he asked her, he said, ma'am, said, what do you do? How do you, I mean, you just got so much power of God on your life. I want to know. She said, first of all, get you a chair and sit down. Get a chair. She said, you're going to need a chair. Don't do this standing up. Get you a chair and sit down. And then from the depths of your heart, pray, God, show me my heart. And then deal with it when he shows it to you. And when you deal with it, then you can have the power of God that's being made manifest. See, it's in there. People say, follow your heart. That's the dumbest advice anybody could give anybody. We don't know our own heart. Only God knows your heart. Only God knows my heart. And it'll get you in a world of trouble. Don't ever tell anybody to follow their own heart. That's just plumb, can I say that word, stupidity? That's just plumb stupidity. Don't do that. Hey, let's judge it. Confess unconfessed sins. Pray without ceasing. Witness, study, and read the Word of God. I tell you, I'm praying. I've been praying more and more the last few weeks. Lord, help me love people.
Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir.
That conversation. I remember the first conversation I ever had with Brother Frank Caceres. And I'll remember the last one. Just the three of us together. I've not shared it with anybody. It's just ours. I'll tell you the gist of it. Love people. He lay on that bed dying. He said, "Son, love people. If you just love people." I've been praying more and more and more. God, help me love people. Give me compassion. Help me to love people and let me have compassion. Talked to a man today, and he was rough and kind of didn't smell too good. He needed a haircut. He needed a shave. He needed a shower. But he was in that restaurant, and the Lord said, talk to him. And so I was watching him, and we were eating, and I was trying to eat in a hurry because I didn't want him to get away from me. And I was watching, and he got up and started to leave his table, and I got up and opened the door for him, and we walked outside and got to talk for a minute and gave him a gospel tract, talked to it. Amen. Hey, as bad as he was needing them other three things, he was needing Jesus a whole lot more. Oh, don't let them get away. Let's go after them. Let's make a difference. Want compassion. Want love. Let's go after them. Let's let them know, hey, this thing's about to wrap up. I believe it's about to wrap up. We need to take as many as what we can possibly take. The devil's going to fight you. He's going to beat you down. He's going to do everything in the world. Preacher, I told him the other Wednesday, I said, man, we lost our house there before we could ever get down there. And he said, you didn't think you was going to go down there without the devil fighting, did you? I said, well, I wish you left my house alone. You know? I mean, really. But you know what? God's got another place. He's got another place. You talk to people. I talked to a lady, felt impressed, and he talked to her, and it got hostile real quick. It really did. And I talked to another man, and it was about to get there. He was messed up on some of his stuff. And I seen where it was going, so I just started backing out of it. And you know what? The devil will use them. Like today, when they're that guy, the Lord told me, said, you need to talk to that man. And that was one of the first things come to my mind. That's how the devil works. He's going to do that stuff. I talked to three ladies yesterday, and you know what? All of them were so polite and so kind. One of them stood there and just looked at me like, I really don't want to fool with you, but she was still kind. The devil didn't bring none of them up to my mind. But you know what? We get to loving people and have compassion on them. We'll get beyond the devil and we'll get beyond all this stuff. Let's make a difference in this year. I want to hear great things going on up here. And I want y'all to hear great things going on in Florida. For the glory of God. We love y'all. Y'all never know what y'all done for us.
Let's pray. I thank you, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, for the day. Dear God, I thank you for this good service, Lord. I thank you, dear Lord Jesus, for Philadelphia Baptist Church, and Lord, for what they mean, dear God. This light that's set on the hillside here, dear God, that cannot be hid. I thank you, dear Lord Jesus, for the influence and the witness they've been all through these years, dear God. Thank you, Lord, for their fine pastor, Brother McCully, God, and his family. And Lord, what an encouragement they are to us, and Lord, to each one. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray, dear God, that you'd ever bless this ministry here. Lord, I thank you, dear God, for our friendship, Lord, with the Stringers, Lord. I thank you, dear God, for Brother Scott, Lord, Sister Leslie, dear God, Miss Evelyn, dear Lord. I thank you, dear God, for them. I pray, Lord, that you'd put your hand upon them, Lord, as they go down to minister in Florida. I ask God, Lord, that you'd help him, dear God, to accomplish the goal and desire and dream that you put in his heart. I pray, Lord, that you'd build the church, dear God, like only you can do. They labor but in vain unless the Lord build the house. And I pray, dear Lord, that you'd touch him, that you'd guide him, dear God, in what he needs to do and how he needs to conduct, Lord, the business. Lord, what you've given, dear God, Lord, and the vision, the goal, dear God, you put in his heart. Lord, I thank you, dear God, for their friendship, how they've been so kind to us personally, Lord, through the years. And dear Lord, how you put us together. And I thank you, dear Lord, that you just touch and help them, dear God, in a mighty way. Give them souls for their labor. Dear God, I pray that you give them strength, dear God, Lord, as they labor, dear God, there in this work for you. Lord, he's already talked about stepping off for a building. Lord, I pray, dear God, you'd send the money in. dear God, Lord, that you'd help them, dear God, to realize, dear God, that goal and that vision, dear God. But most of all, I pray, Lord, that you'd give them people, dear God, to fill it up, Lord, that you'd ever help them to operate in the love of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the message tonight. I thank you, dear Lord Jesus, for the power, Lord, that worketh in us. And dear God, I thank you, Lord, for the promises that you give us. Lord, I pray now, Lord, you'd help us to exercise that and go forth, Lord, in the power of thy might. Lord, I pray now that you'd bless the meal, dear God, the food to our nourishment of our bodies and our bodies to your service. In Jesus' name, amen.